I noticed on Sunday evening before our service started, Jason reminded us that we'd been involved with Family Bible Time for 1 year. And I thought about the things that I remember out of that experience. I still probably have a hard time saying the Old Testament minor prophets in order. I can get them all, but I kind of have to hum it to myself a bit and do it Travis style sometimes. I think that out of all of the things that probably have stuck in our minds, it's the fruit of the Spirit is not a, and then the fruit is, and we love, joy, peace, and so on. It happens that today, our daily Bible reading is the passage from which that statement comes. And I thought it might be appropriate for us for a devotional thought tonight to remind ourselves that this idea or this concept of the fruit of the Spirit is a part of a very important argument that the Apostle Paul makes in the book of Galatians. And what he is saying is that the law of Moses could require people to focus on a rule or a practice, in the case of Galatians, probably something like circumcision, that people could take and could impose and could say, this sets us off as a people. But Paul is saying that the law could not transform persons to be the kinds of individuals whose lives are characterized by that which is the fruit of the Spirit. That the gospel, on the other hand, can transform the hearts of people so that they become, by nature, individuals whose character it is to do the things that are mentioned as the fruit of the Spirit. We sing about the fruit of the Spirit and look at the wonderful truth that that involves, but we don't want to forget that this is a part of a wider statement which contrasts the fruit of the Spirit with what Paul calls the works of the flesh. Fruit versus the works. The flesh versus the Spirit. The law, what the law brings to light but can't change, and what the gospel confronts and must change. That's the contrast that's here. What we're going to do for the next moment or so is to read this powerful passage twice. Adam is going to read for us from the New American Standard Version, which has the reputation of being as literal of the modern translations as there is. And then I've asked Travis to read the same passage for us from the New English Bible, which was the first maybe of the efforts to translate more freely and to try to phrase things in an elegant way, but in a very modern way. It has its weaknesses, but I want to ask you to think about it tonight to remind ourselves that these terms have meanings. The kinds of things Paul says are the works of the flesh are they're actually practices in life, and this might help us to think about what they are. We want to read the two passages, and then we'll just make two or three observations based on the reading, and try to hold ourselves up to the gospel tonight. Adam, if you'll come first, please.
I'll be reading Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25 from the New American Standard. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice these such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit.
I mean this. If you are guided by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of your lower nature. That nature sets its desires against the Spirit, while the Spirit fights against it. They are in conflict with one another, so that what you will to do, you cannot do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Anyone can see the kind of behavior that belongs to the lower nature: fornication, impurity, and indecency, idolatry and sorcery, quarrels, a contentious temper, envy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, party intrigues and jealousies, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who behave in such ways will never inherit the kingdom of God. But the harvest of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, fidelity, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law dealing with these such things as these. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their lower nature with its passions and desires. If the Spirit is the source of our life, let the Spirit also direct our course.
All right, two readings of the same passage. And then we offer these reflections on the two passages. Notice that what we're dealing with in this text has something to do with the gap that has to be dealt with between a person's wanting to do something and his ability to do it. That's what Paul addresses at the end of verse 17, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. That gap exists because of the difference between the flesh and the Spirit. Jesus tells Peter in the garden, or the disciples in the garden, that the flesh is willing, or the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I think the flesh in this passage has to do with more than it does there, but that gap is present, and it's talked about. And what the apostle then says is that the works of the law are not enough to conquer the works of the flesh that occur in human experience. Observe that the one huge difference between the works in the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit is that the works of the flesh all involve certain arenas of behavior, while the fruit of the Spirit all involve the character of the person. There are many different ways in which the flesh may express itself in practices or behaviors or deeds. And just very, very quickly looking at them, you'll notice that one category has to do with with morality in the sense of sexual conduct and our management over our own bodies. Those are the first three of those statements, and they culminate with the idea of sensuality, which is the ability to make something dirty out of every natural part of human existence or human experience. This is the kind of a mindset which dwells on the vulgar and makes oneself a gawker or a peeping Tom at every part of humanity. And then notice that there are religious aspects of the works of the flesh. There is idolatry or sorcery, sometimes translated witchcraft, which is the ability to influence or the effort to influence God by human ingenuity or human purposes. Then there are certain things that involve disruptions in human relationships because of selfishness. There's enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, then there are the products of those human weaknesses, which are rivalries, dissensions, divisions, and envy. Then there are the practices which we might associate with wildness or with partying, namely drunkenness and orgies, Paul speaks here. When you look at the works of the flesh, one arena of practice or behavior might not be a temptation to the person who is dominated by what Paul calls the flesh, while another one might be. There might be someone, for example, who is not tempted by sexual immorality, who may, on the other hand, struggle with enmity, strife, jealousy. There may be someone who would never think of practicing sorcery, who nevertheless is overcome by fits of anger or rivalries or dissensions. There might be someone who does not allow himself to become a hateful enemy of someone, but who, on the other hand, might struggle with substances that take away his self-awareness or self-control. Those are the works of the flesh. There's all kinds of ways that the evil one will be glad to help us express what is called there our lower nature. On the other hand, notice that the fruit of the Spirit is singular. And notice that all of these things have to do with one kind of person or one individual character. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I don't know if there is a way to neatly separate these out, and some people make three groups out of them. Some people make two groups of them, love being one and the others all consisting of making up the other part of it. What you have is the kind of an individual who is produced when the flesh is crucified and along with its lust, crucified with Christ. When someone walks by the Spirit, verse 16, is led by the Spirit, verse 18, and lives by the Spirit in verse 25, then notice that what Paul says in verse 16 becomes very meaningful. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the lusts or the desires of the flesh. That's more in the nature of a promise than it is a command. It's saying where we might struggle with the works of the flesh, the thing for us to do is not just to battle each one of those works individually. It's to get back behind that and make a choice about what principle we walk by. Be people who walk by the Spirit. And if we do that, then gradually we'll find ourselves doing more and more what we want to do instead of what we might have struggled with otherwise. It's interesting that Paul found it necessary when he had worked with the churches at Galatia to warn them before and to warn them again that those who practice such things as he calls here the works of the flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God. When you read the list, doesn't it occur to you that it looks like people who love Christ should not have to be warned about that we ought to recognize it? Maybe it's a reminder of how easy it is to get again like the people were with the requirements of the law, like circumcision, to where we get preoccupied with that kind of thing instead of with whether this kind of fruit is being born in our lives. Paul says at the end of the passage, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. I would hope myself in reading this passage that I would develop a distaste for the works of the flesh and an attraction for the fruit of the Spirit, such that I would be thrilled that I've had an opportunity to hear the gospel and to live by it, and then to want to help someone else do likewise. Read the passage again and meditate over it, and notice where the forks in the road are in our lives. Let's pray for a moment. Father, we're so grateful to you for what you've done through Jesus Christ to bring about a harvest of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness, gentleness, and self-control, and all such things. We pray, Father, that this harvest might be ever increasing in our lives. We're so thankful for the power of the gospel and for the promises that are brought through it, that such a thing, such a harvest is occurring in the lives of people who are ruled by Christ. Father, help us to be warned that we cannot adopt lifestyles, either morally or religiously or relationally or habit-wise, that are characterized by the works of the flesh and still expect to inherit your kingdom. Help us to remember what is fitting in your kingdom and what is not. Help us to see where the works of the flesh have their common influence, whether it's in our various groups or factions, or whether it's in the various rivalries or jealousies that could occur, or whether it's in idolatry, or whether it's in sexual immorality. Help us to recognize that when we are ruled by selfishness instead of by your Son, that there'll be consequences or fruit, one or the other, as the case may be. We're so thankful that we can live in a world where the fruit of the Spirit can be present and where it does not have to be darkness all the time. Help us in our lives to be walking by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and living by the Spirit as people who belong to Christ. Bless us as a congregation while we're involved in thinking about the various ways in which the church is served by elders and deacons and teachers and evangelists and members, and help us to be dominated by the fruit of the Spirit in such thinking, and to pursue the honor of your Son in every way. Be with our loved ones who are hurting right now, and help us to serve them well. Be with us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.